All right, thank you for all the great meetings this morning. And a few, Crystal just went out and Children's Church, go back to the Children's Church room and for the Children's Church.
Yeah.
Well, this is today, Christ arose.
Yeah.
And our title this morning is the reason we can say Jesus Christ is the Lord and He is risen.
Yeah.
Is because from tragedy to victory.
Yeah.
He won the victory over death.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to follow along with me this morning from Mark, read from verses 22 through 37, first of all, and then conclude with Mark 16, 1 through 6. In order for us to get the whole picture of what took place on through Holy Week, it began with Palm Sunday, Life Sunday, and Jesus' steps through each day, everything, things that He experienced. And this will kind of highlight the first part of this message, talking about where Jesus is mocked in 16 through 21, after He was arrested and tried.
Yep.
And then in verse 22 is where He actually, the crucifixion took place. So if you want to follow along with me, the first is, let me get to those. Right there. Okay. Verse 22. Then they brought Him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. They tried to give Him wine or vinegar mixed with myrrh, but He did not take it. And they crucified Jesus and divided up His garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide what each man should take. It was the third hour, which would be 9 a.m., when they crucified Him. The third hour would have been 3:00, I'm sorry. The inscription of the charge against Him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with Jesus, one on the right and one on His left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." Those passing by were hurling abuse at Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes, were mocking Jesus among themselves and saying, "He saved others, can He not save Himself? Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with Him were also insulting Him. When the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, "Behold, He is calling for Elijah." Someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine or vinegar, which is on a reed, and gave it to him, saying, "To drink. Let us see whether Elijah will come and take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud voice and breathed his last. So here we see in these scriptures, was there Jesus did experience immense pain and agony. If you could just picture these verses, and going back to verse 16, you can imagine after Jesus being arrested, what took place, all the beating and the harsh treatment and the mocking and everything that took place, putting the wreath on his head and pushing it and gouging it down into his skull. With thorns was furnished and they pressed down until his head began to bleed. He was beaten on the head and probably upon his entire body with a reed that was lined up and down with sharp rocks that tore down into his flesh. He was also spat upon. And though that was not enough, they handed him over to be crucified. And that was one of the worst, horrendous crimes in the Roman Empire at that time, especially the way that Christ died. Now, during the crucifixion, spikes were driven into his wrist, just below the hand, spreading the bones apart as they went through. You can imagine the pain and the anguish that Jesus went through there. While being nailed to the cross, Jesus' feet were placed one over the other while the spikes forced its way through both of his feet. His knees were bent so that he would have to push up in order not to slide down and suffocate under his own weight. They positioned the platform enough so that a person could push up. If not, they would suffocate in their own blood. And the position he was in with his hands above his head caused suffocation. If he weren't able to slide up and down because his lungs would be pressed together and filled up with fluids and blood. That's when they pierced Jesus' side, blood and water, it says in the scriptures, flowed from his side. And that's why it was common in crucifixion to break a victim's legs. For if they had not passed away before the Passover time, then they would break their legs to end them in death more quickly. So we see that Jesus went through immense pain and suffering just because the sin that the world brought upon his shoulders. And in Colossians and in Philippians both, Paul said that in due time, in the fulfillment of time, God sent his only Son into this world to die for the sins of the world. Now, that is why we celebrate Easter. And we think about the scriptures and how it tells us everything that took place, but you would have to be there to see and experience what Jesus went through for each and every one of us. Yeah, I can stand up here and try to explain all day long, but unless you see and experience the horrendous, then according to the scripture, our minds cannot comprehend what Jesus went through because he loved us. And you see, he went through this with joy, not because he enjoyed the pain and the suffering, but he did this for the joy of obedience to the Heavenly Father, because he wanted to be obedient in every area of his life, which he was. He's God, the Triune, the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are one. And so we are one in the body of Christ. So here we see that Jesus was mistreated and suffered before he died. Before he died. You know, pain, I mean, death is not easy for anyone. Just dying normally, death is not easy for anyone. I've experienced, I don't know how many deaths of loved ones and those I've passed over the years, and the expression of the pain that they was going through, especially with a breath of disease that causes pain and everything in life. And it's hard to just stand there and see that happen before your eyes and try to say something to help ease that pain and that suffering that someone going through. But when you look at the side how Christ died himself, we cannot imagine the horrendous pain that sin put Jesus through. And though he was at peace, you think about this, Jesus was at peace by what he did, because he knew his spirit was in the Lord's hand, but the process of dying was no way peaceful for the Lord. Jesus was tortured. He was tortured far beyond recognition according to the scriptures. Jesus was unrecognizable because of the torture he received. And we realize that Jesus had to die in order to take our place, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, according to Romans 6:23. And then Romans 3:23 says, no one is righteous, no, not one. And that's why Christ died for our sins. So we realize that Jesus died in order to take our place. And you see, because of our sins, our destiny was eternal death. But Jesus eradicated that. He took that away because he was willing to die for our sins. Jesus took our place in death so that we might live eternally. Next, we want to look at the transformation of tragedy. And I want to look at the resurrection now, which is the victorious victory over death itself. And chapter 16 of Mark, 1 through 6, tells us about Jesus' resurrection. Then it says in verse 1, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Looking up, they saw the stone had rolled away, although it was extremely large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were amazed. They were astonished. And he said to them, do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who had been crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold, here is the place where he lay. And that inscription there, Jesus of Nazarene, that's what was over Jesus' caption of the cross. King of the Jews, the King from Nazareth. So here we see the event recorded here according to the resurrection. As stated earlier in my message here, Jesus died, death, and resurrection gave us the gift of salvation and eternal life. Salvation. Salvation frees us. That's the spiritual release, spiritual freedom from sin. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory, but Jesus eradicated that when he died on the cross. So it also gives us a promise of renewal and this transformation in our everyday lives over our trials and troubles. See, Jesus was confronted with a lot of trials and troubles in people's lives that came to Jesus. And he took care of those for him. But the most important thing that he did for us, not on the physical side, but the spiritual side, going to the cross and dying for our sins. And that's the best decisions that we can make as an individual or a human being, is to make that decision to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You make many important decisions in your life. Getting up in the morning and making decisions of what you're going to do throughout the day, making important financial decisions and future decisions and things like that. But none of that means anything if we don't have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know how much that can be emphasized from the pulpit or just as our witness as Christians to other people who don't know him personally. Because salvation is important in our lives. Or if it were not so, God would not have sent his only begotten Son and put him through the torture and the pain that he endured by doing so. So salvation is very, very important. So the resurrection is the key to the hope and comfort during our times of suffering. Trials and sufferings and hardships that we endure, yeah, we go through that. We don't like it, do we? It's painful. It's disheartening and so forth. But none of that is in comparison to Jesus' death on the cross. And one of these days, we're not happy in that stuff. You know, throw the glasses away, the canes, the walkers, the prescription, all of that things. That's going to be done away with. And Jesus took care of that on the cross. And during the resurrection, Jesus, who is God incarnate, overcame sin and death. Death, where's your sting? Paul says. And many of us would see death as the ultimate tragedy. And that's why I entitled this From Tragedy to Victory. We would see this tragedy, and it is tragedy. But Christ turned it into something good. He turned it into victory. He won victory over death. Jesus suffered. He bled. He died. But that wasn't the end of the story. Paul Harvey, you said, now, page 2. But that's not the end of the story at all. This tragedy was transformed into new life, eternal life. Now, just like you and I, we endure the pain of losing a loved one in death. God endured the pain of losing his Son. And what was painful other than that was having to turn his back upon Jesus on the cross. And Jesus was sweat like blood flowing from his brow down to the ground in Gethsemane praying, Lord, may this cup pass from me. Even though Jesus knew he was going to the cross, he was still pleading to the Father, May it be some other way. But I know I'm going to the cross, and I do it joyfully because I want to be obedient to you. Now, he went to the cross and suffered agony so that we might live and rise in God's future. See, what we view as ultimate tragedy, which death, Jesus experienced it. He experienced death in order to show that he can transform death into something brand new. And that's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 is so important. If you be in Christ, if we be in Christ, we are made new. We are new creatures. The old things that once haunted us, the sin, We're dead to sin if we have Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And Romans 6:6 says, in order that we might walk in the newness of life. See, when we one day die just for death, God is going to transform this seemingly tragedy, old body, sinful body, into life through Jesus Christ, and we will enter the bright and glorious future that being heaven. So how can this good news be applied in our everyday trials and tragedies? Philippians 3:10 says that Paul said that I might know him in the resurrection of his death. The power of it, because it brings salvation to each one of us. And see, what that tells us, it is so that we might live and rise in God's future. One of these days, we will. And the power of the resurrection works like this. It does not eliminate hopelessness. It doesn't do that. But it does represent the triumph of good over evil. And we know there's a lot of evil in this world. We see it every day. We experience it. We see it with our own eyes. And we think this is a hopeless world. It is in the eyes of those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, but we who do. And that's our message to this dying world of sin, that there is hope in Christ Jesus. It also works in through death as a general power to recreate new life. And that's why Paul says, old things have passed away. Behold, if we be in Christ, we are brand new. We're a new creation. You see, although we're suffering in this physical body, through our faith in God and through the power of the cross, the Lord will make a way for you and me. That's why he says in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. And Jesus knew the disciples were being troubled when he was sharing with them that he was going to the cross, that evening preparing them for the good that was going to come from him going to the cross. And that's why he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I know you're troubled right now. I can see it on your face. I'm experiencing it in your lives. I can see your emotions, that you're troubled. You feel like you're defeated. And I'm going away. I've been here with you. But in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going from here to heaven to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But where I am, there you will be also. And he was telling all of us that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And that's how Jesus was comforting the disciples, and he comforts you. So when we acknowledge that God knows the pain that we feel, he knows our pain, he knows our thoughts, he knows every emotion, every physical pain, every spiritual thing within our lives, he knows it, and he's willing to help us with it. So when we acknowledge that, God knows it. And we can be assured that we are not alone in our suffering today. That we are going to overcome the present moment. We will, and we will have new life. And in closing this morning, Christ died for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son for everyone. And then he arose victorious over death. He arose. And that's why we're celebrating him today. We should celebrate that every day in our life. And that's why we are victorious over death too. Christ won the victory for us. And our lives have been transformed through Christ's resurrection, that we might be transformed into something new. And as we have given up the life of sin we were living in, and in the sense crucified that life of sin, then we rose victorious over death. Therefore, when we finally leave this earth, and we will one of these days, we will enter heaven to reign with our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Eternal. That's why we have eternal life. No more suffering from something that seems unfair and unjust. The things that we cannot do anything about or we cannot explain. And sometimes we just think things that happen in our life are unfair and unjust. But Jesus makes everything good. And we can stop pondering why we had to go through so much pain and much suffering in this life here on earth. And when we see others going through it, we sympathize with them. And we are sympathetic. And we pray. And we look for the good that God looks for in everything. Because from the very beginning, when God created all the things that we see in our lives, He called it good. And it's going to be great in the end, right? It's good now, but it's going to be greater one of these days. And that's why we've got to keep our heads up, our faith, and our trust in the Lord secure. That's why God sent His only begotten Son to take our place and our burden on Christ and allow it to be the burden laid upon Christ. And through His death, He transformed your pain into new life. You have new life. Sometimes you may not feel like it. But He has given us new life. Our Father in heaven has given us new life through Christ our Lord. Celebrate it, worship Him, adore Him, and thank Him daily that He has given you new life through Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father God, thank You for this day, and we do celebrate Your resurrection. May we never forget it. May we remember, as You tell us, when we take communion, the bread and the cup, do this in remembrance of You. We have a lot of things to remember in our life, and we keep records of things we remember. We have pictures to remind us of the good things. We have journals. We have all kinds of things to remind us of the past and history. But we have Your Word, Lord, Your Bible. It teaches us all about You and the future, which is going to be glorious one of these days. It tells us how you died on the cross for our sins, and how we can have salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ, and how we can have eternal life. And it tells us how we can live each day afresh and anew and be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Lord, may we take that serious. May we not be distracted by the things of this world. But may we keep our eyes on You. May we be reminded by Your Holy Spirit each day. And Lord, may we welcome Your Holy Spirit to remind us. We need to do that. Say, Lord, anything in my life that's not right with You, any sin, remind me. May that radar go off in my heart, in my mind, and I'll make it fresh and anew. Renew my whole life with You. Lord, may we do that on a daily basis. Lord, that way we can stay on a narrow and straight path to You. Lord, during this invitation, Lord, may we make evaluation, examine our own lives on On this day, this resurrection day, Lord, we can make all things new. And you've made them new for us. We just need to accept those and respond to your invitation to come to you for salvation, for renewal, whatever that might be in our lives this day. May we freely step out and offer ourselves as living service to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen.